This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Fowler on trombone, Napoleon Murphy Brock on tenor sax and lead vocals, little skinny Terry Bozzio on drums, Tom Fowler on bass, Denny Wally on slide, George Duke on keyboards, and Captain Beefheart on assorted insanity. And the name of this song is Stinkfoot.
Well, now that I've striven to chase every single ear away in the opening three salvos, let's get sanctified. The Blind Boys of Alabama, here on the Pale-Faced Parabola, co-starring the Mystery Man and me, the quote-unquote talent.
And when my butt seems hard to bear, and there is no one to help me share, I just call on King Jesus, and I know He'll surely hear. You know He took my away. stay. Just a little more faith and grace is all I need.
It was meant to be from the beginning. God does not suffer. He doesn't feel pain. He is not a courageous God. Human beings can be courageous or cowardly. Neither of these make up any of God's nature. Will man destroy the earth to move on? Is that his destiny? Ask yourselves a question, people. Are you humble before God?
invite you, wherever you are, whether you're at home or whatever, to kind of kick your shoes off and put your feet up and lean back and get yourself a cup of coffee or something and just relax and join us in enjoying some very quiet and romantic and relaxed music for a couple of hours.
Your call is being transferred.
Electric prunes for Vox, bringing you the exciting new sound of the Vox Wah-Wah pedal. Let the electric prunes demonstrate the difference. Play it prunes first without the Wah-Wah pedal. Now, listen to the difference when you push that Vox Wah-Wah pedal down. You can even make your guitar sound like a sitar. It's the now sound. It's what's happening. That's why the Electric Prunes, Animals, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Stones, the Seeds are all using the Vox Wah-Wah pedal, and it works with any amplifier. If you're a professional musician or want to sound like one, get with the new Vox Wah-Wah pedal at your Vox dealer now.
an inspired teaming of Lowell George from Little Feat and Mick Taylor, ex of the Rolling Stones. Actually, Lowell George was ex of Little Feat at this point. A piece called Giddy Up from 1979, the one, the only, the proper and the best of Mick Taylor solo albums after he made the magna cum laude decision to leave the Rolling Stones. And actually, as the years have gone on and I've heard his explanations, it makes a lot of sense because basically he left to save his life. Plus, they weren't paying him properly for the songs he helped write in their halcyon days of the late 1960s until he left in December of 1974. Love this track. Get some lotion in my motion. If anything can on this Weirdo Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2026. Preceding Mick Taylor and Lou George, that's a new one on him. I don't even know if his mom or friends called him Lou George as a nickname. The Electric Prunes, talking about a wah-wah pedal in a period piece that had a shelf life of a short time. Rolling Stones before that, the Fat Boy Slim remix of Sympathy for the Devil, which was recorded in 2003, I believe, back around the time of the Rockefeller Skank. And Fat Boy Slim used to be in the House Martins, too. His name is Norman Cook. We heard his remix of Sympathy for the Devil, a 4.5-minute version of said, and I was sharing with the mystery man Stone's lore here at Studio A, where it was well known that Marianne Faithfull gave Mick Jagger the book, something about the magician and somebody, and it was had some devilish overtones. He took it, wrote a Dylan-esque folk song about it. And the next thing you know, when he brought it into the studio and showed Keith Richards, he said, well, you know, let's make this thing move a little bit. How about if we make it a samba? So they started building it. And they needed to rock it up a bit for the camera because that was around the time that Jean-Luc Godard, the French New Wave filmmaker, was filming the Rolling Stones, recording that song live in the studio. So they put some pep in its step, and the next thing you know, it's been a warhorse of their set list now, for the most part, for the last nearly 60 years. Now, when I saw them for the second time in 1975, and I don't think they played it in 1972 either, after what happened at Altamont, they didn't play it. But by the 1978 tour, it was back in good favor. Actually, Sympathy for the Devil was the encore of the show I saw at Madison Square Garden in 1975. You know, I am not suffering from onset dementia. It was proven out by my doctor last Thursday with the memory test. I have senior moments and some holes in my ozone, but feel no fret, at least not yet. I've got, I'm a fairly normal person, at least when it comes to memory sticks like that. Mick Taylor, Lowell George. Porcupine Tree checked in, the lowest of lo-fi that we play on this show, but I love that opening bit. And I have to stay on point today because I'm making the show up. I made the show up with about an hour to spare today after an extremely busy week and Mother's Day, and just had no time to lash together 2 hours worth of music. So what you're going to hear is audio verite plus tonight on the Paleface Parabola. Went back to the 1950s for the piece by the Jackson Brothers called We're Gonna Rock This Joint. This from an essential compilation slash collection put together by Billy Vera, who RCA Records let into their vaults to play around and cull some nuggets back in the late 80s and early 90s. And I'm sure glad he did this one. Count Basie's on here, along with others. And I'm partial to that track. We're going to rock this joint, which I'll send out to both the Mystery Man and me. A clip from Masked and Anonymous, a really weird movie put together by a really weird guy who's about to turn 85 next week. His name is Bob Dylan, known to mom and dad as Robert Zimmerman. This has got a great cast, Jeff Bridges and John Goodman, not reprising their roles from The Big Lebowski, but it's just a stranger movie, except it's not as funny. Dylan's in it. I think Jessica Lange's in this movie. It's pretty wacky. Take my word for it. You're going to have to, unless you have the movie, which I think actually we own, 3D and me. The Blind Boys of Alabama from the album Atom Bomb, as in Jesus Hits Like the Atom Bomb, which is the first track on the record. I think this is the last album that had three of the original five from Birmingham, Alabama. In fact, the Home for the Blind they stayed in was right down the street from where the four little girls lost their lives by racist murderers throwing a bomb into a church and killing the four of them. And I think they did time, but not nearly as much as they should have or could have. But remember, we're talking about Alabama in the 1960s. Your Honor, I rest my case. Polkicide did that whacked piece of Squeezebox called Favorite Polka from the album Polka Comes to Your House, spelled like Pennsylvania Dutch, H-A-U-S, exclamation point. Brave Combos on this album, Mojo Nixon and Skid Roper. It's a party starter for those of you who are ready. Are Three Sheets to the Wind. And began the show with a couple slices of new Frank Zappa music. New with a tinge of old vintage. Recorded at the Armadillo World Headquarters in Austin, Texas, May 21st, 1975. It took us about 3 minutes to get a good evening, ladies and gentlemen, out of somebody in the band. And then they tore right into a live version of Apostrophe, not on the original Bongo Fury album that Zappa generously made B-Part a co-star on that record. But unlike this record here that we make here at the Studio A Studios, the Mystery Man, a active, if not always willing participant, especially if I'm playing 12-bar blues for a solid hour and 58 minutes of our tour de force. But B-Part got to the point where he and Zappa first got together, I believe in high school, and used to listen to doo-wop and Johnny Guitar Watson and Howlin' Wolf records. Then B-Part moved out to California. Then Zappa moved out to California. And they had an on-off relationship, mostly off because of how zany Don Van Vliet was. And he just couldn't get along with Frank Zappa. I don't know if he got along with anybody. He wound up living in a trailer in the Mojave Desert after he contracted multiple sclerosis and spent the last decade of his life out there, if not two, painting and contemplating his fate. But every once in a while, when they got together, it was a spirited joust. Zappa, if I remember right, produced Trout Mask Replica, as if you could produce something that B-Part made the band rehearse for an entire year leading up to the making of that record. That's where we've been, and where we're going next is one, even though it's not from the performance I saw. I only saw Peter Gabriel and his band perform once. That was on the Amnesty International tour of 1988. Sting, Springsteen, Tracy Chapman, and Peter Gabriel. And I'm here to tell you, think about who I just said, and it's easy. I mean, you can Tracy Chapman in a stadium, even with that first album out, that was mega. Sting, who he'd have to pay me to go see him at this point. He's such a bore, even though he's a great musician, great player. Springsteen and E Street Band were about to split up for a decade, so I had seen them more inspired than that night at JFK Stadium, which leaves Process of Elimination. Peter Gabriel. I've never seen a better performance on a concert stage than that night, only equaled. And to close the set is the song I'm about to play, which I can see it in my mind's eye as I'm speaking to you now, because I'm multidexterous, you know. At least that's what I like to tell you, even though I can't figure out how to work the new options of CD portals 1, 2, and 3 here in the studio. So, from the brand new reissue, which is called Live at WOMAD 1982, and this is Peter Gabriel, he said, "It was hard for me to concentrate in the run-up to performing that night because I was completely preoccupied with the fact that I was about to lose my shirt, shoes, socks, and maybe even pants funding that festival." So we got out on stage, the band played great, and if you can't get inspired by the tale of Steven Biko, then you can't get inspired.
This is one for everyone. It was a song written for Steve Biko.
Seven.
Thank you. We're well past the curfew time now, so we can't do any more, but I wanted to see you once more. Thanks very much for your support. Thank you. See you.
Masterclass in musicianship. Bella Fleck, who has worn so many hats in music that I don't think he can afford to take his hat off anymore because he's probably bald. It's all his hair rubbed off. And he's teamed up on this song, which, of course, my favorite things is from the movie Mary Poppins, right? But also, Coltrane's version with McCoy Tyner juxtaposing him on piano. And to me, the equal or outdoes John Coltrane as far as virtuoso musicianship. That piano solo, again, one of those things never bettered, only equaled. And this from the album Guitars, released on the Half Note label in 2008, cut in 2006 with the likes of Bill Frisell, Derek Trucks, and also John Scofield, Mark Ribot. It's a heck of a record. I got lucky. I got the original deluxe edition with the DVD. So you can watch and marvel at the same time. So this two all-timers in a row, Tyner and Bella Fleck, and then preceding that, Peter Gabriel. I can't even convey to you, and maybe it was me, and I wasn't all that altered. If I had seen it in the 70s, I might not have remembered any of it. But by that time in the 80s, it was the week of my first marriage. I went to the concert with my ex-brother-in-law, who I wasn't sorry to become an ex-brother-in-law. And Peter Gabriel, absolute showstopper. Still making music, still touring, at least he did when he released his last record, and is going to release another one at the end of this year, and is releasing songs, if you can't wait, on a monthly basis, just like he did the last time, on the occasion of the full moon, until we get to the end of the year. And if it's anything like last year's surprise that Santa brought us, that was my album of 2024. If I remember right, the last Gabriel record, I.O. And I'm fully anticipating slash demanding that Pete repeat his fine form. I'm talking his music, not him. I'm like girls. Our team here on the Pale-Faced Parabola. New Zealand representing Bill and Mike, who put the magic dust on the program as the last line of defense. Mike does, and then Phil gets the gives good promo, and he puts the graphics on our dedicated Facebook page, the Pale Face Parabola, where if I have any game left by Wednesday, middle of the night, or Thursday during the day, and just as importantly, time on either one of those occasions, I'll post a playlist of what you're about to hear tonight. So, those guys from the North Island, from the real deep south of the world, thank you. You can hear our show throughout the week. It's broadcast live on Free FM Wednesday evenings on 89.0 from 10 p.m. to midnight in the free music zone, and is replayed Sunday mornings at 2 a.m. when you're staggering home. So chances are we might sound better than we really are if you listen then. So I have to recommend that. Then there is our, they paved the parking lot and put up a place for the big guy and I to rent space in outside Studio A here on Volunteer Radio. Thanks to John and Barbara for allowing us to invade their Tar Beach. The big guy, who is, I got him going and coming these days. Literally, he brings me here, he takes me home. Sometimes with sidebars. Especially because I drink like a camel all day long, every day. And sometimes I just have to stop for a fresh load of potions when the show's over. And wherever we have to go, the guy's gold. He's gold, I'm telling you. And if I don't tell you, he'll be the next in line to tell you. Then there's the mystery man, without whom his snarkology of this evening aside, the show wouldn't happen without him. Studio A presents a fresh canvas to be painted on every single Wednesday evening. And me, I answer the call. Now, in the aforementioned test that I took last Thursday for my mental acuity, the one I got wrong, I could have, yes, I got dog, cat, and I'm just as smart as Trump. What am I saying? I couldn't remember. I drew a blank on how to draw a clock. And the guy said, okay. I didn't even know I was going to have to do art. I figured, you know, I just have to answer a bunch of questions on my memory. And, draw 10 after 11 or 10 to 11, whatever it was. And I was like, okay. And he said, do it analog. I said, well, that's the only way I know how to do it. I'm almost 70 years old. I started to draw it. And I was like, how do you do this again? And my wife's sitting next to me and she's giggling. And at the end of it, he said, well, that's the one you got wrong. But he said, other than that, I can assure you that you're normal. Come back in a year. Who'd I see? Dr. A, my personal physician, or Dr. Vinnie Boombatz? He said, come back in a year and we'll do it again. Well, okay. So she says, well, you got a year to practice now. And I said, you don't have to remind me of, you know, how what an oaf I am in terms of being an artist. She wouldn't speak to me for the rest of the day. Took it wrong. I didn't even mean anything by it. But, you know, you'll have these things. We've been together a long time. All the news that gives you fits. Part one. Mother's Day. Very satisfying Mother's Day this past Sunday. My daughter-in-law's first. Karen in Ingles and Karzi in Filipino. She's a wonderful, calm presence in the storm of a household of a one-month-old, their daughter, our granddaughter. 3D reduced to cooing and talking in a baby's voice for the bulk of our half-hour-long conversation Sunday night via Zoom. 3D, it's her 35th Mother's Day. Her daughter, a work in progress. We went to a new church service on Sunday. Denominational church, a Methodist church. Reason being, her ex-husband is a tremendous musician. Choir master, keyboard player. It was his first day on the job at that church. It's like, well, this is Mother's Day. My choice is where I want to go. Okay. It was actually really good. The pastor was superb. Smart and funny. Measured. Not MAGA. Or I would have walked out. Went and got myself a bagel and sat it out. But no need. It was terrific. So that part of the day, really good fun. Scripture verse at that church this past week, 1 Peter, verse 5. Add to your faith goodness, which was a key point in the sermon. Then add knowledge. Then self-control. Shouldn't self-control come first, I'm thinking? Then perseverance. Then godliness. And finally, mutual affection, and most importantly, love. Because as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, like Trump is fond of quoting from, but 1 Corinthians, when he said, without love, we are but a clanging bell. I can't hear as it is now, so I don't want to be a bell clapper in the middle of a bell, thank you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Strengthen in faith and overflowing with thankfulness. I thought that was pretty sharp, too. A hero, a woman on dialysis for decades. Her daughter donated a kidney so she could function. At first, the woman turned it down, and then she said, yeah, I've had enough. Man, it said, and it's not in scripture, that you lay up your treasure in heaven by what you do here on earth. I'm thinking she's got two big pots full of gold. The donator, that is. New Jersey Transit, listen to this thievery. The World Cup of soccer, which I believe NZ is in, along with here in the United States, so I got some divided loyalty, but I'm an American. Don't have dual citizenship yet, so I got to be rooting for the United States when the games start late next month. Well, New Jersey Transit got busted by John Q. Public. The normal fare for transit back and forth from, I guess, Penn Station to the Meadowlands, where the games here in New Jersey are going to be played, $12.50. FIFA, known carpetbaggers, were charging $150 to shuttle people back and forth from those same locations. Now listen, soccer slash football, F-U-T-B-O-L, is the most popular sport in the world. So people likely would willingly pay it if they could even get a ticket to the game. But I'm thinking that's $137.50 of primetime gouging. Rotten tomatoes and an empty beer glass for all involved with FIFA. Letterman on CBS / Skydance on the ending of The Late Show. And I don't want to say they fired Stephen Colbert, or Colbert, as he was born to mom and dad, because he knew it was coming. But Letterman said, simply, you know, when they're talking purely a financial decision, said, they're lying. And he meant it. Living forever. There are some desperate people out there. And of course, they're all wealthy, so they can afford to indulge frantically searching for cures. And whether you're a believer or not, you probably still have to put in some stock in, you know, the very notion that, you know, when it's our time, it's our time. Well, not so much for three examples here. This is in the Sunday magazine. Sam Altman, who's heavily invested in AI, has invested $180 million in Retro Bioscience, a biotech company, to save his sorry arse. Then, of course, Bezos, who just spent $10 million of his wife's clothes budget, sends funds Alto Labs for stem cell therapy. Now, that's got some validity to it. I've believed in stem cell therapy since jump, despite the cries of Christians who thought that you were messing with God's playbook back in the day. But there's this other guy who beats both of them, Brian Johnson, funding a diverse set of ways to cheat the hangman. I could tell him that. We do that on a weekly basis here on the Paleface Parabola. It's like, man, be humble. When it's your time, it's your time. Ted Turner had a lot of money, who just passed late last week. Was he frantic like you sad sissies? No. Has he ever heard 1970 Fleetwood Mac music? No. Likely not. The album Kiln House, the one after Peter Green left the band and before Jeremy Spencer ran off to join and indulge himself and some cult sex. This was Danny Kirwan's edition of the band, and this a splendocious instrumental called Earl Grey, which I suppose they being English and them likely, if you want to go with the stereotype like people do with us Irish all the time, that they're tea drinkers, they knew the way around an Earl Grey tea bag.
Welcome to Madison Square Garden. I'm Chris Christopherson, and this is Bob Dylan's night. On March 19, 1962, Columbia Records released the first album by a new artist, Bob Dylan. Now 30 years, 38 albums, and over 500 songs later, Bob Dylan's universally recognized as one of the most powerful creative artists of our time. Backstage, we've one of the greatest collections of performing artists ever assembled, and they're all here for one reason: to pay tribute to Bob Dylan through his own songs. Hang on to that spirit.
I'd like to welcome Stevie Wonder.
Sing the answer in the right on here. Let me hear you singing la 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 la. Let me hear you sing. The answer is blowing in the wind. Oh,
sing it, y'all.
Sing it, y'all. Sing it, y'all. And we won't make it easy. Hey, oh, oh, oh. The answer is love. The answer is love.
It is love.
The answer is love.
It's love. Keep let me get it, sing. Say it's love.
Say it's love.
Say it's love.
They're ready, folks.
For refreshment that is great.
If it's early or it's late,
it's Orange Crush.
Orange Crush, the drink that's extra good.
Fresh fruit flavor.
That's for me. It tastes better.
Naturally.
Orange Crush. Orange Crush.
Get some right away.
Visit our refreshment stand right away for delicious Orange Crush and all kinds of good things to eat.
There is a band man, a famous top hand, who hails from down old Texas way. And Oklahoma, from Doo-Wah-Diddy to New York City, you've heard him holler when he plays. Folks play the jukebox and write to disc jocks, truck drivers, deep sea divers, they ask, they say, what makes Bob holler? What makes Bob holler? When I asked Bob, he explained this way. And he said,
well, when a little sweetie pie in a mini skirt twirls by and rolls those big blue eyes, oh, I holler. And when some pretty chick says she loves my fiddle licks, well, now then, that can do the trick. Oh, I holler.
That makes Bob holler. And when Bob hollers, it makes you feel so happy and gay. Okay, what makes Bob holler? Bet your bottom dollar, it's just because he feels that way. Bob holler, and when Bob hollers, it makes you feel so happy and gay. Okay, what makes Bob holler? Bet your bottom dollar, it's just because he feels that way. And he hollers 'cause he loves to play.
Something, and I'm I'm really serious. The stuff I've been through in my life, I'm lucky to be here, period. I'm talking about cigarettes and skull, drugs and alcohol, food full of lard, fat, grease and cholesterol. Old Granddad, old Taylor, old Crow and Jim Beam, asbestos, lead paint, PBCs and DDT. I've had the chicken pox, the whooping cough, mumps and measles, broken bones, broken heart, and social diseases. Man, I don't know how I live to be this old. Well, it wasn't clean living. That's one thing I know. A beautiful woman came into view. I turned all the way around so I could take a look at the backside too. My partner said, ain't you shame checking out the chicks with your old ancient ass? Well, at your age, you ought to be glad to just be on the top side of the grass. I said, I can't help it. I still like the women. Couple things that you don't know, because I've been young, but you ain't never been old.
know I reap where I haven't sown, and I gather where I haven't dispersed. The gospel according to St. Luke. You know, for days I almost broke my head trying to figure out how we could get a hold of that silver. And now it's dropped right into our laps, ready to move. All we gotta do is jump on our horses and move. Friends, the promised land is here.
Listening. Oh yeah, Martin Denny, who used to have this voluptuous woman on the cover of every single album that my late father bought of Martin Denny's, and this easy listening stuff. And little did we know that 50 to 60 years later, these records would be somewhat sought after by collectors. This piece called, or the piece you just heard, anyway, called Ringo Awake? Ringo Awake from Deep Exotic. This is a 2-CD reissue that came out several years ago on a label. And a must for those who know how to wake up and smell the kitsch. Which we do here on the Pale-Faced Parabola. The Mystery Man's time to shine like a new dime. Coming up, We Cheat the Hangman, the quest we're involved in right now, the first part of our show. Tonight, your ears. Tomorrow, the world. Retrospect number 727 happening this evening, directly following this program. A rollback of what we just did to you. Ended with Lady Madonna as covered by Booker T and the MGs from the album Macklemore Avenue, which is where the studio was. They recorded on, I believe, in Memphis. And it's got a picture of the four of them crossing the road a la Abbey Road. Duck Dunn, the bass player of the band, lights went out today at the age of 70. Then the instrumental was the Jay Giles Band, and from their first album released in 1970 on the Atlantic label, we heard Icebreaker for the Big M. Magic Dick, yes, that's what he went by. A lot of air harmonica played to Jay Giles songs and Magic Dick's harmonica hoodoo in the 1970s before they went commercial with stuff like Centerfold and all that. Love the Jay Giles Band. Good, greasy, beer-drinking rock and roll. Speaking of, another man who knew from those side of the tracks, Elvin Bishop, the ironically titled Clean Living, about wondering how the heck he was still alive, but still being young enough to check out that young stuff that just walked by him and getting called on it. From 2010's album, which was called Red Dog Speaks on an indie label. He's made a few good records since then, especially the one he made with Charlie Musselwhite about 5 years ago. Elvin Bishop music. Originally from the Butterfield Blues Band. You almost never hear his name associated with Bloomfield and Butterfield, but he was there. Then there was Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys from the anthology record 1933 to 1973, 40 years of Hollers, which is semi what we heard on that piece. The What Makes Bob Holler, one of the last things that he recorded in his long-term career. And you know, Bob Willis, for a guy who grew up in the Deep South, down around Texas way, in those times, was supposedly not only a hip cat, but also a man who looked out for those of a different pigmentation. Bob Wills music. What Makes Bob Holler? If you drop something on his foot, I would imagine that might work too. Stevie Wonder. And I was saying to my co-conspirator that on what passes for paranormal occasions, you wouldn't catch me alive or dead playing Blowing in the Wind anymore. It's been done. But given the fact that tonight is Stevie Wonder's 76th birthday, we thought we'd fire up something that you haven't heard a gillion billion times. And so we did, from Bob Dylan's 30th anniversary concert, introed smartly by Kris Kristofferson, who would come into play more later on, consoling Sinead O'Connor when she was getting booed off the stage and heckled after ripping up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live the week before. No, Dylan's audience was so steeped in the ways of Catholicism. And apparently, Sinead didn't either until she ripped up a picture of the Pope. Stevie Wonder, Blowing in the Wind. He covered that on one of his early records. He did, which I had, and I think I still do. Started off the set with Fleetwood Mac, the post-Peter Green, pre-Buckingham Nicks Fleetwood Mac from 1970. Again, the album Kiln House, one of several underrated ones in that time frame. Kiln House, Future Games, Bear Trees, Heroes Are Hard to Find. Those are all superb records. And the general public could give a hoot. A hoot, I say. I give a hoot. I care about you. So we come here to sing, to dance, and to spray seltzer down your pants for an hour and 58 every Wednesday evening, or most of them anyway. Events of the day, Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish, one mega and done, but that mega was pretty damn mega. Born today in 1966, 60 years young today. And then also Red Garland, who worked for a time with Coltrane, born today in 1923. He got a toe tag young, I think, if I remember correctly. Albums released today. Notably, Sturgill Simpson in 2014 released the album metamodern sounds and country music. He now calls himself Johnny Blue Skies. At least he does for this record. Likely next one, he'll change identities again. Today in 2004, Gene Simmons, the phony baloney from Kiss, the corporate capitalist, said Islam is a vile culture. He had to walk that back. Not that I think many Islamics are buying Kiss records, but who knows? There may be one or two. 1977, Hustler magazine, and she denied it, offered Ronstadt $1 million to pose naked. That's too cheap. I wouldn't have done that either if I was Linda. $1.5 million? I'd have to start thinking. The Kinks recorded Sunny Afternoon, one of their greatest, today in some year. I think it was 1966. Goodness gracious. Badfinger recorded No Matter What, which I think is their greatest song, today in 1970 at Abbey Road Studios. And finally, 1986, The Nooch. Now, here's wisdom to share with your grandchildren. Life is one big female safari, and Dr. Ruth is my guide. Good luck with that one, Ted. Music right now from 1969 on Free FM, the Pale-Faced Parabola, for another 20 or so.
Yeah. come, come, walk on Gilded Splinters. Come, kitty, kitty, come, come, walk on Gilded Splinters.
Some people say they jive me, but I know they must be crazy. Don't see their misfortune if they're just too lazy. Just sweet little brands on them, my yellow belted joys on me. And a friend of the tomcat, fill my brains with poison. Walk through the fire, fly through the smoke. See my enemy at the end of a rope. Walk on pins and needles, see what they can do. Walk on gilded splinters with the king of the Zulu. Gimme, gimme, come,
kitty, kitty, come, come. Walk on gilded splinters. Come, kitty, kitty, come, come. Walk on gilded splinters.
Poison in my chalice. Pride begins to fade, and they all feel my malice. With Gregory on your doorstep, soon you'll be in the gutter. Melt your heart like butter, yeah, I can make you stutter. Give me,
come, kitty, kitty, come, come. Walk on gilded splinters. Come, kitty, kitty, come, come. Walk on gilded splinters. Come, come, walk on gilded splinters.
Tell Alberta.
Come on,
kitty, kitty, come, come,
walk on gilded splinters. Come, kitty, kitty, come, come, walk on gilded splinters.
Go, go, round me, show.
Tell him.
Tell him. Tell him.
Tell him.
Tell him.
I'm very happy, if that means anything to you, with the latest Bangs and Talbot record. It's called Smokin' Aces. It's on the Acid Jazz label out of England, released a couple of months ago, and this very 1970s disco overtones track called Play the Game with Mick Talbot, starring Mick Talbot, used to be in the Style Council. Directly preceding that, we heard Elmore James with the Hawaiian Boogie. Had to talk somebody out of moving to Hawaii last night. I think it was my son. He was like, yeah, we thought about moving to Hawaii from the Seattle area. And it's like, you don't want to do that. They say, A, it's expensive to get there. And B, it's even more expensive to live there. But Elmore James made it affordable. Hawaiian Boogie. From his Best of record, tearing it up. If you're fans of the slide guitar stylings of the likes of George Thorogood. Before that, the music of Marsha Hunt, whose historical claim to fame is that she was Mick Jagger's baby mama, his first one in 1970, which helped break up his relationship with Marianne Faithfull. And she did a version of Dr. John's Walk on Gilded Splinters in 1969. It was pretty good. Took that from a collection called 1969 to 1971. John Savage put that together, a writer for Shindig Magazine. Elton John. I didn't mean to play that song, but it wasn't half bad. Version of Blueberry Hill from the Fats Domino tribute called Going Home. That was released right after Antoine got the call, right on the borderline of when he was alive and when he got the call. 2007, the year on the Vanguard label. Really a stellar all-star set. Two CDs. And began the set with the Jackson 5 from 1969 doing a cover of Sly and the Family Stone's Stand. One of my favorite tracks they ever done did. The Mystery Man's up now. That concludes We Cheat the Hangman. Retrospect number 727 up next. But you, my friend, get the parting shot. Don't let us down. What do you got for us today?
We have something from Moulettes. Moulettes consists of their four-piece group. And their connection to the band Gentle Giant is manifested by the bass player, whose name is Jim Mortimer, who is the son of Malcolm Mortimer, who was their second, Gentle Giant's second drummer.
And don't even bother to question his authenticity in being able to impart Gentle Giant wisdom to you. The man knows that stuff and he didn't have to go to school for it. We know that already the clock has ticked towards a place we'd prefer it not to be, so we got to skedaddle out of here for another 7 days. But feel no fret. We'll be back to love you long time like the burly mofos we are in 168 hours. Phil's here to entertain you next with the Retrospect Show. In the meantime, Sláinte, good fortune, and go well.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.